We're ready. In the name of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray together the unity prayer. My adorable Jesus, make our journey together. Make our hands gather in unity. Make our hearts beat in unison. Make our souls be in harmony. May our thoughts be as one. Make our ears listen to the silence together. Make our glances profoundly penetrate each other. Make our lips pray together to gain mercy from the Eternal Father. Amen. And we ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with His grace, that we read the Book of Heaven. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we are in number 67, I believe.
Yes.
Are you ready, Linda?
I'm ready. December 21st, 1928. After this, I was doing my round in the divine fiat and was going again to the first times of creation, to unite myself to the acts done by our father Adam in the state of innocence, so as to unite myself with him and continue from where he left. And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, in creating man, I gave him a visible universe in which he was to move freely, see the works of his creator done with so much order and harmony for love of him, so he could do his own works in this void. And just as I gave him a visible void, I gave him an invisible void, even more beautiful, for his soul, in which man was to form his holy works, his sun, his heavens, his stars, and echoing his creator, he was to fill this void with all his works. But since man descended from my divine will to live in his own, he lost the echo of his creator and the model with which he was able to copy our works. Therefore, it can be said that in this void, there is nothing other than the first steps of man, while the rest is empty, yet it must be filled. For this reason, I am awaiting with so much love those who live and must live in my will, who, feeling the power of our echo and having our models present to them, will hasten to fill this invisible void which I gave in creation with so much love. But do you know what this void is? It is our will. Just as I gave a heaven, a sun to man's nature, so I gave the heaven, the sun of my fiat, to his soul. And when I see you take your steps after the steps of Adam innocent, I say, finally, here is the void of my divine will that begins to receive the first conquests and the first works of the creature. Therefore, be attentive and continue always your flight in my divine volition. Amen, fiat."
Thank you, Linda. And that comes from volume 25, December 21st, 1928. Before we go to the to that passage, let's go to the catechism, because there is a section in the catechism that talks about Adam in the state of grace. So Adam before the fall. And I'm always mentioning this because I think it's important to have these foundations, to have the same understanding of the church. And through that understanding, we can understand now the Book of Heaven. And Basically, it's from 374 all the way to 379. Those numerals, in those numerals, the church talk about Adam in the original state of holiness, in the state of justice. The original state of holiness is the possession of the divine will operating in him. And the church also says state of holiness and justice. So we know that justice is one of the cardinal virtues. And basically justice is to give to everyone what is due to him or to everybody. So we know that Adam lived in the state of justice. Why? Because he was giving back what belonged to God. So that made him just. He was giving praise, glory, honor, and adoration to God with every movement. So these numerals, they are very important for us to understand that state of justice, that state of holiness. These numerals, the church tells us in this, that in that state in which Adam lived, you know, there was complete harmony with God and man, complete harmony with him and creation, complete harmony between the two of them. It also mentions, you know, it was harmony among themselves and complete harmony within himself also. So when the Lord talks in this passage about that state in which Adam lived, in this particular passage, it says that, hold on, because I'm getting lost here. Okay, that Adam, in that state of innocence in which he was created, he was united to the will of God. He calls it the state of innocence here in this passage. He says he was united to myself. As Luisa Picarreta goes around and she's doing these rounds, we know that basically she's following the divine acts. And we know what are all the divine acts. Divine acts is everything that the Blessed Trinity has done out of love for us. So what are the divine acts? What are the divine acts? Well, all creation, everything that exists in creation. So Luisa Picarreta is doing that, following those particular divine acts of creation. And she arrives at the moment or in that place where Adam is still in the state of innocence. Then the Lord, as he explains how he created him, he gave a visible universe. This, we can go back to the book of Genesis 2. We can go now to sacred scripture. Now that we have gone through the catechism, we can go through sacred scripture and we can go to the book of Genesis, the first chapters. That's a beautiful way to do what Luisa Picarreta was doing, to do rounds, because in the first chapter of the book of Genesis, basically we encounter the divine acts God is creating. And we see how he begins pronouncing his fiat. The first fiat is, let it be light. Fiat lux. So we see that after he says, let it be light, then another events continue from that particular action or that command that God says, let it be light. We see that the day is separated, I mean, the light from the darkness, and then we see that God calls it night, sorry, day and night. So from one act that God makes or he does, then others follow. We can say it's a consequence of the first act. So that's a one way to do also the rounds with the Bible. And in that way, we go back to the Bible. We tie the Bible with the catechism and with the Book of Heaven. Because one of the things is that if we don't read the Book of Heaven through the eyes of the church, we are going to fall into all kinds of interpretations and all kinds of things. And we are just going to go around repeating like things, and we are not going to really understand what it is, the message. Because in all these passages that the Lord is giving to Luisa Picarreta about Adam, and throughout the whole book, the main message of the Book of Heaven is that God wants to give us back the original state of grace that we possess. I mean, that Adam possessed. That's the main message of the whole Book of Heaven. He wants us to possess the original grace that we lost. And how we are going to do that? Well, he has left us the church. He has reconciled us with God the Father. We call those acts the acts of redemption, all the life of Jesus. So he reconciled us with God the Father. He opened the way for us. He left the church to help us go back to receive that state that we lost. The original state of holiness, the original grace. He wants us to possess the original grace that we lost. And one way that Luisa Picarreta is practicing this way of praying now is through the rounds, which is following all the divine acts, in a particular way, creation. So the book of Genesis, the first chapter, is a wonderful way to do the rounds, because we see all the divine acts of creation there. We can put our I love you in the light in the moment that God issues the word, let it be light. We can place our I love you, our act of thanksgiving, of honor and adoration in the light, in the darkness, in the first day. Then we can move to the second day. We can see God says, let it be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it separate from the firmament, and let the waters above separate from the rest. So we can put our I love you in the firmament, in the water, in the second day. And we can go like that. On the third day, he creates all kinds of vegetation and all of that. We can put our I love you in that. So you get the point. And that's how we can use also the Bible to do our rounds, to follow the divine acts in creation. So as Luisa Picarreta is doing this, then the Lord reveals to her this, what he says here, that in creating man, he created him, right, with a void. He gave him a visible universe, so now we understand, we know everything that exists. It was created out of love for him, for us. And this is exactly what the Catechism also tells us. I think it's 358, that it tells us that everything was created for men, that we were created to love, to come to know, to love, and to serve God, but also to give him back all his creation. And in the way we give him back his creation is by corresponding, by placing our I love you, I praise you, I glorify you. As I was mentioning, using the first chapter of Genesis, I put my I love you in the first day, in the second day, in all the stars of the sky, and all of that. So you can follow like that. But this void that he talks about, one, he says that I gave him a visible void. And then I gave him an invisible void, two voids. And the invisible, even more beautiful for the soul, in which man was to form his holy words. So with every act of correspondence and adoration that he was doing, this void was being filled in himself. And it makes sense, you know, if we go back to St. Augustine, it really makes sense with what the church has been teaching. In the confessions, the famous confessions of St. Augustine, he goes and he reflects, while this thirst that he's looking for God, and he says, I was looking for you and I didn't know that you were inside of me. Something like that. I don't have the exact quotation, but he recognizes that there is this void in us, but this void that we all try to fill with different things, it has to be filled with these acts of correspondence, corresponding God. And in this way, we fulfill what the church is asking us to do, has been asking us to do. And we find that call in 358. In this way, we really offer God all his creation back to him. And in offering that creation to him, that void in us is being filled. It cannot be filled with material things. This has to be filled with these spiritual things. Because that's the way we are designed. We were wired for God. Even in the Psalms, we find this. My soul thirsts for you, like a deer running without water. As long as we keep trying to fill this void in us with other things that are not from God, we are always going to remain in the same spiritual dryness. Because this void, he mentions it, is even more beautiful than invisible. It's designed so that we can form our own suns, heaven's stars. So just the book of Genesis, in the book of Genesis, God is creating, and you see what he creates. We call that in the book of heaven is ad extra. You see, like God putting all his love outside. It's an outpouring of God's love. Basically, all creation is an outpouring of God's love, so that we can see it in a visible, palpable way, how much he loves us. And in the same way that he's created, he wants us to create, but we are not going to create in the same way, in a visible way. This is a spiritual way that we are creating. He's saying, so that we may also form our own sun, heavens, stars, echoing his creator. In other words, we had to imitate God. This void so that it could be filled with all our actions of love, of correspondence, and that will, in that way, we were supposed to imitate him, to imitate our fathers. That's one of the first things that we see in the book of Genesis, that God is a father and that he loves us so much, and his love is being expressed in a visible, palpable way in creation. And he continues, the Holy Spirit continues to sustain that creation at every day, at every moment. So every moment that we breathe, every breath that we take, we borrow it from God. We take a loan from God. And there is kind of like a huge depth. And now he has shown us how to repay, how to pay back at every moment by loving, by corresponding him. And in doing that, we will imitate him, because in our soul, these sons are being formed. You know, this is what he tells us in the Prevenient Act, May 27, 1922, volume 14. That with every single act that we do in his will, our soul expands. We acquire a new capacity. So this void, he says, he was to fill this void with all his works. You change the word works for acts, is maybe is more understandable. Or so with everything that he was doing, this void was being filled, because it remained in the unity of that will. He says, but since man descended from my divine will to live in his son, he lost the echo of his creator and the model, which to be able to copy our work. So we can say that creation is the outputting of God's love in a visible way. And our acts united to his divine will, that's our love that he's able to see. We are not able to see the love that flows and the correspondence that flows with every act that is united to the will of God, but he sees it. We can say that creation is the field of action of God, and our soul is the field of action that we united to the will, to his will, we were supposed to be feeling all the time. That's kind of like the symmetry. But we were supposed to imitate our fathers, to our heavenly fathers. But because we are now in the fallen state, the world is not imitating our heavenly father. It's imitating the father of lies, and we know who that is. So you can see how the human will separated from the divine will is just basically evil. If we go with the definition of St. Thomas Aquinas about evil, that evil is the absence of something that ought to exist. So in the beginning, the unity of the divine will with the human will is what it was meant to exist. So this unity ought to exist. And if it's not, then according to St. Thomas, then it will be really evil. That's why St. Augustine also comes to the conclusion that the root of all evil is the human will. But now we understand that no, that the human will by itself is not evil. It's only when it is exercised against God and separated from the divine will. Because the human will is not evil in itself. It becomes only when it acts apart from that unity that we were supposed to possess to remain always. So we understand now, St. Augustine, that yes, basically through these writings, now we understand that yes, St. Augustine wanted to say that the root of all evil is the exercise of the human will separated from God, apart from the divine will. For St. Paul, the root of all evil is the love for money, which is greed, which is one of the capital sins. The capital sin of greed is a consequence of the fall. So we can conclude that St. Paul meant to say also that the separation from the divine will leads us to greed, which is evil for him. It says, therefore, so we were supposed to copy, he was supposed to be our model. Therefore, it can be said that in this void, there is nothing other than the first steps of men. All the rest is empty. All the rest is empty, yet it must be filled. For this reason, I am awaiting with so much love to those who live and must live in my will, who feel in the power of our echo and having our models present to them, will hasten to fill this invisible void, which I gave in creation so with so much love. But do you know what this void is? It is our will, because through other passages, we know that he was growing in the knowledge and understanding of God. And even though he was filled to the brim of every moment, Adam, he was also expanding his capacity to receive. So the will of God, he was being filled with that capacity. So he was filled with God as much as a creature was able to contain. The same with the Blessed Mother. Hail, full of grace. She's filled with grace since the moment of her conception. And at every moment, she's being filled. But every moment, she was growing in also in that. There is a beautiful passage that I think I want to share with you. The Lord tells Luisa Picarreta is the first lesson that Adam learned also. And I think this is a passage that we have to basically, even though it's in the later volumes, we have to really understand the Book of Heaven too, and at least to understand this first state of holiness and grace that Adam possessed before the fall. So the passage comes from volume 33 and it's from January 10. No, sorry. Excuse me. No, that one is not. Excuse me. It's from volume 33 and it is December 10, 1933. It is the first word that Adam pronounced. And then here, later on, the Lord tells Luisa Picarreta This is the first lesson that he learned. My daughter, I also feel the desire to tell you what was the first word pronounced from the lips of the first creature created by us, Adam. You must know that no sooner than Adam felt life, motion, reason, he saw his God before himself and understood that he had formed him. So imagine, he saw God and immediately he understood in his soul that he had formed him. He felt in himself, in all his yet fresh being, the impressions, the touch of his created and thankful hands. And in an impetus of love, he pronounced his first word. I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. So this was his first correspondence. And by saying that, that invisible void that he talks about in us was being filled immediately. So it was filled with love for God. You see that then that void, since Adam began filling that void with love for God, everything has to be done out of love for God. But it was not only the word. What it follows is very important because it says it's not only his word. Everything that he did, all his words, as he says in the other passage, every act, it says, but not only the word, but the breath, the heartbeat, the drops of his blood, the race in his veins, the motion, all his being united together, they said as in one choir, chorus. I love you, I love you, I love you. So that the first lesson that he learned from his creator, the first word that he learned to say, the first thought that he had live in his mind, the first beat that formed in his heart, it was, I love you, I love you. He felt himself love and he loved. So the first lesson, so that first state of holiness, or that first state of grace, consisted on giving thanks and loving God with all our being. And he did it just by virtue of being united or remaining in that unity. Just by virtue, just we can say it was automatic for him. As long as he remained in that unity, it was natural for him. Let me correct that word. Instead of saying automatic, it was natural. It was a second nature to him. That's why for us to go back to that state of holiness, to go back to that original state in which he possesses that will operating in him, we need to learn how to operate in this way. And again, I'm always reminding you about this passage, but you know, repetition is part of learning. So this passage that I just read, together with the passage from volume 14, the Prevenient Act, they are complementary. They can be the foundation for somebody who is only new to learn this divine science, and even for those who already have many years, to really go back to the passages and understand this divine science, because sometimes we get lost Just by going here and there and there and everywhere, and then we get more confused. But if we really take the time to really meditate with this book, the Book of Heaven, and really try to ask the Lord to give us the grace to understand this way of living. Because this is what He wants the most. He wants, this is the gift that He wants to give us the most. Why? Because this is what He designed for us to possess. And once we possess this gift operating in us, He will have accomplished His work in us. And by us living in this way, He is the way that the Blessed Mother will crush the head of the enemy. One by one, by one, by one, by one. So you are living in this way, the Blessed Mother already is crushing the head of the enemy through you, in you. Because basically every act done in the divine will, right, spells the human will. Even though we need the human will there, but the human will operating in union, in unison with the divine will. So this way of living is the original way that He designed for us. And that's why He wants it the most for all of us. Just as I gave heaven a son to men's nature, so I gave the heaven the son of my fiat to his soul. And when I see you take your steps after the steps of Adam innocent, I say, finally, here is the void of my divine will that begins to receive the first conquest and the first works of the creature. Therefore, be attentive and continue always your flight in my divine volition. Whenever the Lord tells Luisa Picarreta to be attentive, is that she had to know what she's doing. Remember, let's use the method of the church. The church tells us that for something to be sinful, it has to be a great matter. Then you have to have full knowledge. And then you have to will it to do it, to choose to do it, to be a mortal sin. For us to really give freedom to the divine will to operate in us, for the divine will really to have its field of action in us to operate freely, we have to have the knowledge. So we have to be attentive to know the truths, to learn how to operate, to know that as the passage that I read to you from volume 33, that to know that every single heartbeat, every breath that you take, as your blood runs through your veins, is an I love you. So you can say many I love yous to God at once. And really, this is really the example that He gives. As you know, the sun can give many rays, thousands and thousands of rays at the same time, isn't it? So us, if this possessing that son of the divine will in us, the will of God in us, we become like that, like the son, basically. We issue multiples I love yous to God at the same time as we take every movement that we do. No. It comes to mind maybe a little joke here that, you know, those who have high blood pressure, maybe it's a louder I love you to God, you know, the heart is running, the blood is running so fast, maybe it's not so bad after all. So consider that when you have your high blood pressure, you know, instead of complaining, just say, oh, this is louder, I love you, to God. So this is really what he wants us to possess, and he wants us to be aware. So I think that's for the book today. Let's go.